Welcome to the Work the System podcast, where we help entrepreneurs make more and work less using systems. And I'm your host, Josh Fonger. And today we've got a special guest. We've got Tom Schwab, who's going to be talking to us about how to break through the noise and get new customers, a new way of doing inbound marketing. So very excited to have Tom on today. But before we get into Tom and the interview, I need to thank today's sponsor of the podcast, which is Trainual. You all know about Trainual. Trainual help you document your business. They store your documentation. And if you want to find out more about them and get your free account started, go to workthesystem.com/Trainual and you can get set up right there. All right, Tom. Well, let me read your intro before we get started with the questions. Tom is the author of Podcast Guest Profits, Grow Your Business with a Targeted Interview Strategy. Tom is also the founder and CEO of Interview Valet, the category king of podcast interview marketing. Okay, Tom, so why don't you tell us this backstory? How did you get into podcast marketing?
Well, you know, everybody thinks they've got this perfect game plan, their first business plan or their business plan. I always look and say, it only makes sense in the rearview mirror. So, you know, I'm an engineer by degree. My first job out of college was running nuclear power plants. And I think that's why I love the book Work the System when I first read it. I think it was a couple of years ago. Because to me, everything can be systematized. If they can teach high school graduates that are like 20 years old how to run a nuclear power plant, we should be able to figure out how to run our businesses. So I did the Navy, did corporate America, did sales, marketing, started my own business, used inbound marketing to grow from a regional player to a national leader, and then sold that off. And so when I was in my sabbatical period between companies, I was helping a couple friends with their inbound marketing, their digital marketing. And one of the things I saw was that blogs weren't working nearly as well as they used to, and that most business owners don't like writing blogs, right? I've written a lot in my life, but all of them were a homework assignment. They like talking about their industry. So I hypothesized back in 2014 that you could use podcast interviews, much like we used to use guest blogging a decade ago. You know, instead of me putting a blog on my own site, getting it seen by three people, thanks, Mom. You know, she always reads my blog. Go on to things like Huffington Post, Wall Street Journal, trade magazines, wherever your ideal customers were. So we started to test that. The results we got were amazing. And at first I thought it's a niche, it's a personality. So we tested it, refined the system. Then I came out with a book on it, came out with a course, but I never took the course out of beta. The feedback was good on it, but people that were honest said, you know, you've given me the cookbook. You've given me the videos that go along with it. I don't want to do this. I want to be the guest. You take care of all the rest. And that actually came from a client and became our tagline. And so in the end of 2015, we started to beta test a done-for-you system. Early 2016, we took it out of beta and it's grown into what is Interview Valet now. And so we're a podcast interview marketing agency. We've got a team of 16, all remote workers. Nobody, not everyone wants to live in Kalamazoo, Michigan with me, but we're all here in the United States. And we serve about 90 clients at any one time. A lot of authors, coaches, speakers, brands. And really, it's the old principles applied to a new way. So I always say that my grandfather would understand what we're doing, even if he didn't understand the technology behind it.
So it's just another medium. So whereas blogging was the medium from 10 years ago, speaking or this podcasting medium is the new way to actually get your message out there. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. And really it's, you know, how do we grow our business from, and especially, you know, if it's growing the business, because there's a difference between making a transaction and growing a business, right? It's never been easier to sell something online. Today, all you got to do is be a penny cheaper than the other person, but don't lie to yourself and say you're growing a business because the next day they're going to buy from the next person that's a penny cheaper. Mm-hmm. So really, it's like, how do you build that relationship? How do you get that know, like, and trust? And, you know, 50 years ago, it used to be going to the country club and getting introduced by somebody, talking to some people on a round of golf. Well, now it's, you know, getting introduced on a podcast, talking for an extended period of time. And the great part is that we can do it anytime, anywhere, and nobody has to see my bad golf game.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about the medium, because I think this is important. We talked a little bit offline. I was reviewing your site. And so A lot of companies know they need to market online. They need to, they can't be everywhere at once. And so they're trying to scale that way. But how does the interview format, like we're doing right now, compare to a written piece of content? Like, does one perform better and how much better?
Well, I think it really defines how you best create content and then how other people use it. So our studies have shown that traffic from podcast interviews converts 25 times better than a blog. Now, what that means is, at first I thought that, well, that's couldn't be true. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, if somebody listens to you for 30 or 45 minutes, they're already educated. They're already self-selecting. And if they come to your site, they're a hot lead. But when people say, should I do blogs? Should I do video? Should I do podcasts? I always advise them, do what's easiest for you and then use technology to transform that, mm-hmm. right? So we can take this interview here, we can transcribe it, we can have somebody else clean it up, and there's probably 5 or 6 blogs in here. Mm-hmm. We can take little clips out of it and make audiograms out of it. We can take, 140 characters of genius and make tweets out of it, little things like that. So I think it's really repurposing it. And I don't focus so much on podcasting as I do content.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. Yeah. And we're actually doing that at Work the System right now, is just realizing that I, just like you, I'm not a big fan of writing. I don't like to write, but if I can speak, then other people can kind of produce and take and tailor and just generate a lot of content just from this interview right here. So it's a great, great medium. Now, I've got to believe that a lot of people who listen to this podcast, because not everyone is an author, speaker, coach, consultant, but right before this call, I think I mentioned to you, I was talking to a baker, right? So she owns a bakery and she does cakes for weddings and bar mitzvahs and things like that. How about for someone like that? I mean, she owns a local business. Would podcasting be something that she should consider doing?
Yeah, that's one of the things that you have to look at is the lifetime value of a client. Do they need to know who you are? Is this a transaction or is this a relationship? Mm-hmm. Now, definitely for a baker, man, that's a long-term relationship, right? I want to get my anniversary cake there, my wedding cake, all the other things. So I want to know who the person is, their heart behind it. Mm-hmm. Their limitation, though, is it's geographically limited. Mm-hmm. Unless she goes national, if I hear her in Kalamazoo, Michigan, and if she's in San Diego, I'm probably not going to drive there or fly there to get the cake. Mm-hmm. But there are other things that she could do to get that word out, to be seen as the leader there. One of the great examples that that I look at is down in Nashville, Tennessee. There's a podcast down there. I can't think of Andrew's last name right now, but he's a realtor. Mm-hmm. And he was thinking, should I start a podcast? Should I do it on new people coming to town? And should I talk to them about the current rates and all the rest of that? And it's like, well, would anybody really want to listen to that? And so what he did differently was he did a podcast that focused on Nashville and around Nashville, what brought people to him, people that had moved there, what their experience was. And so he's gotten podcast interviews with the mayor. He's gotten podcast interviews with football players that just moved there with the Titans and what they love about it. He's gotten ones from the hockey team there, the Predators. And so all of a sudden, he's like this person that's in the know in the community. And so now when new players come from the Titans, they just say, oh, you reach out to Andrew, he'll take good care of you. And that's something that he never would have. So you'll think about that from a baker standpoint, and they could really focus on wedding venues, how to celebrate different things and celebrate their community. And very easily they could give people access to their platform. One of the great ways to use podcasts is to either focus on your clients that are having success, right? Just testimonials, basically. Mm-hmm. They'll say more nice things about yourself than you will, and it'll sound more authentic. Or the other way is to interview people that could be prospects for your company, mm-hmm. right? So if I've got a list of 52 ideal customers that I would love to talk with, are they going to take my call and say, Josh, I'd love to get on the call with you for an hour so I can talk to you and sell you about my company? They're going to say no. But if you say, Josh, I would love for you to come on my podcast and talk about the industry, challenges you have, what new things you're doing, the CEOs would love that. Now you've built a relationship. Now you can go from there. So, you know, it's content, it's relationship, it's selling, right? Selling through a relationship, but now we're doing it over the internet and with free tools.
Yeah, no, it's great. And I've used a lot of those techniques with my clients. I've got an investment advisor and he wants to get more people that he can advise. And so he just interviews successful people who are wealthy, who've done great things in business, and he interviews them and then they become his clients. And so it's a great, great mechanism for him to kind of kill two birds with one stone. And what I love about the medium is that it's scalable and it lasts for a long time. We've got podcast episodes from years ago and people still listen to them. It still ends up building, being really valuable long-term, which I think is really important.
Yeah, it's one of the things that we've learned is the length of the podcast. Somebody referred to it as evergreen. I don't know if it's evergreen. Will it still be meaningful 50 years from now? It's definitely like a can of soup, right? It's got a shelf life of at least 5 to 7 years. Mm-hmm. And so we always teach our clients, part of the process is don't wish somebody a Merry Christmas. Don't wish somebody, you know, reference the last election, because that puts a timestamp on it that mm-hmm. makes it seem outdated. Mm-hmm. The other thing is when you drive traffic, don't always drive them to your homepage. Set up a separate welcome page for them. Because if I hear an interview 4 years from now, I know that the homepage is going to change. And if I go there and I don't see what I'm going to expect, I'll bounce from that. But mm-hmm. if I see exactly what's there, you know, an evergreen page to match the evergreen content, the testing has shown that converts so much better.
Let me ask you some kind of maybe more personal questions about your business, because you did take it from square one or zero, from idea to where it is now. What kind of systems did you have to put in place so that you weren't doing all the work yourself, but actually able to delegate? What did you do to make that happen?
I think, you know, where I come from with, you know, nuclear power, I was used to that. But this industry is growing so fast and our procedures are growing so fast is that it's not that I built those, set them in place and walked away from it. Mm-hmm. I would laugh at the procedures we had 2 years ago, because it's always a process of you set up, you document what you're doing right now, and then you give them to highly motivated people to work, and then they find better ways with it also. And so, you know, I give all the credit to my team, the leaders that we have in it. They always come up with great ideas. And so we're forever building systems, building new databases, because what worked as a team of two, especially when you're a remote team, mm-hmm. doesn't work when you're a team of 10. And mm-hmm. then when we started to expand from there, we realized that we had to build it from there. So we've been rebuilding the systems at least every year. And what really works well with that is it makes it more and more scalable, but it also makes it more profitable. So mm-hmm. we're able to deliver better and deliver more efficiently. So one of the things that I would point to is that don't think as the owner that you're the one that has to do all of it. You get the first version, you know, version 1.0, mm-hmm. and then get a team to help you get version 1.1, 1.2, and all the rest of that. And it will look better and work better than anything you had at day one.
This is pretty amazing. Hopefully everyone who's listening to this, who's worked the system followers, understand that I just met you, Tom, just recently, just a few minutes ago. And he's preaching the message of the need to put systems into place and revealing the results. I mean, you've had amazing results with what you've done and putting those systems in place. And I think for online companies, sometimes they feel like things are too dynamic, things change too often, why bother? And you're proving the point that if you allow your team, you know, enable your team to actually work within those systems and make them better, you're going to have a better company just by being a good leader. And you obviously did that. So,
well, and there's a couple things. You know, one is I think a lot of times we don't document because we don't fully understand it ourselves. And you have to understand something to teach it. And so even going through, like when I wrote the book, it got it out of my head, got it onto paper, and it clarified my thoughts. And the same thing with when you put procedures down, it may not be perfect, but you've clarified what's in your head. The other thing that I've noticed the older I get is that learning from your mistakes is painful. Mm-hmm. You know, in the military, we used to call it checklists are written in blood. Make sure it's written in somebody else's blood. And, you know, I don't want to repeat a mistake. They're painful. So if we learn something, let's make sure we share that through the entire organization. You know, we're all going to make mistakes. The first time is human. The second time that I make the same mistake, that's stupid. The third time, you know, I'm just being a masochist at that point. So the processes help us make new mistakes all the time.
That's a good way to put it. New mistakes. That's a good principle. White Tom, I got to pause real quick to thank our sponsor for this particular episode, which again is Trainual. And I personally asked them to be a sponsor of the WTS podcast just because they've helped out so many of my clients. It's simply a place to put every process, policy, procedure for every role and responsibility in one place. Plus, they are integrating new features all the time, tracking, testing, app integrations. And it's really my go-to source. So if you're already using Dropbox or Google Drive and you want to move beyond it to the next level so that you can actually oversee your team in a much more structured way, then you go to Trainual or go to workthesystem.com/trainual. Plus, I know the team there, Chris, Jonathan, Chelsea, Sarah, Becky, I go on. Just great team. So again, to get a free account, go to workthesystem.com/trainual. And then you can start documenting your business just like Tom did. Good. Okay. So back to the question, Tom. So what is the future of podcasting? Because things are moving fast, right? We had blogging 10 years ago, and that's, you know, obviously it's still relevant, but it's changed a lot. What do you see the next 10 years of podcasting? How is that going to change?
Yeah, I think really it's thinking of it more as content, right? A couple of years ago, I asked my two youngest daughters, what's the pod stand for in podcast? They rolled their eyes and said, I don't know, Dad, what's pod stand for? Mm-hmm. And the thing is they don't know a world with iPods. To them, it's just something they listen to in the car, on their smartphone, on the computer. And I think, you know, right now we've got video on. So does that make it a podcast? Well, if you're listening to it on audio, it does. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think more of it is just content. So I think the future is how can we do on-demand content that is evergreen, that is easily accessible, and is available to anyone in the format they want. Mm-hmm. So somebody asked me one time, well, you know, podcasts now are listened to by 50% of the US population. A new study from Edison Research just showed that. They said, well, when do you think it'll get to 100%? I thought for a second, I'm like, I don't know that television or radio ever got to 100%. Right? 10% of the US population is hearing impaired. The people that are hearing impaired are not going to listen to me on a podcast, mm-hmm. but that doesn't mean that that content can't be transcribed and for them to enjoy. I think the real future of it is the indexing, right? And just mm-hmm. in early 2019, Google came out and acknowledged that they were indexing all audio now on the internet. They used to do video. But I think now what the future is going to be is now I can Google and say, you know, Work the System podcast, and it will show up right there. You know, it'll give me those links. I think in the not so distant future, we're going to be able to go and say Work the System podcast, Tom Schwab talking about podcast interview marketing. And they're going to go, oh yeah, go to this podcast at the time, you know, two minutes and 37 seconds, and that's where you should start it. The same way with video, that it will give you that spot. And really with indexing all of that in there, it should be doable now and largely available really quickly.
Hmm. Wow. That's true. So does that mean anything for the listeners in terms of how they need to index their own materials, or is that just going to happen by default by companies like Google?
I think it's just going to be by default,
okay.
Right? The whole idea, we used to put meta tags on everything and we'd have to tell Google what pictures were. They're getting so smart now. They'll not only tell you what the picture is, but they'll tell you who's in the picture. Mm-hmm. So I think the same way, the more content we put out there, they're going to index that. They're going to find it. And as people share it, it'll start going up there too. So to me, it's getting the content out there, knowing that it will be found in the future too.
So then I guess that brings me to my next question. So since there's going to be, I mean, there's massive amounts of content being produced. I've got clients who do content creation. They write hundreds and hundreds of blog posts for clients a month, every month, because how important it is to get content for SEO. Where does the end game of that? I mean, how do you stand out amongst all of the podcasts that are being released, all the interviews, all the videos? Is there a certain technique or a certain process you help your clients with on that?
I think it comes from the standpoint of the world has changed. Mm-hmm. Over the last decade, we've gone from a world of scarcity to a world of abundance, right? Abundant choices, abundant calories, even abundant clients, mm-hmm. right? It used to be that if you didn't live within 10 miles of me, you weren't my customer. You didn't have the chance of being my customer. And now really within the last decade, we've gone from having the ability to have thousands of customers to millions of customers. So I think the thing is not how can I get more customers? It's how can I get better customers? Mm-hmm. Those people that love what I'm doing, resonate with it, that it brings them incredible value and they're willing to pay for it also. So that's one of the things that we teach our clients is that you want to be authentic in who you're going out there. I always say there's three types of people that listen to me on a podcast. The first ones think Tom is an idiot. I don't disagree with them, but I know one thing. If you think I'm an idiot, we're probably not going to work well together, right? There's someone that could be serve you better. I don't need to try to sell you otherwise. Mm-hmm. The second ones are the ones that go, interview valet, that sounds interesting, but I really don't need that. God love you, go on from there. The third ones are the ones that say, wow, interview valet works with people like me. They get success with that. They understand the market. They understand the business. That's who I want to work with. And so I think we always teach our clients to be who you are. Talk about who you work best with, who you don't work best with. Be very clear on that. Because at the end of the day, you know, I was speaking at an event one time and somebody from the stage said, you need to get 50 new leads a day. And I looked, I said, I couldn't take 50 new clients a day. Mm-hmm. Like, no, not new clients, new leads. And I'm like, why would I want to work a lead or waste somebody else's time if they can't be an ideal customer? Mm-hmm. So from that standpoint, being much, much more focused and being clear of who you are, what you do, and try to attract those people. You know, one of there's the best quote on the internet comes from Rand Fishkin. He's the founder of SEO Moz. And Rand is a great guy. He wrote a book called Lost and Founder. But his tweet was, the best way to sell something today is not to sell anything, but to earn the respect, awareness, and trust of those who might buy. And that's what we're doing on a podcast right now.
Yeah, I like that quote. And based on everything you're saying about the future, really comes down to just being exactly who you are authentically and selling to exactly who you want to work with, because there are so many options, so many choices out there. There's really no point in diluting your message. There's really no point in trying to chase everybody because you could be so laser focused.
There's a great book called Legends and Losers by Christopher Lockhead. Mm-hmm. And I love one of the quotes that he has in there. He said, competition is for losers. And it's so true, right? If we get in a race and there's eight of us for a 100-yard dash, well, I know you're going to beat me, but there's going to be seven out of those eight people that are a loser, mm-hmm. right? If I come in and I say, I am the best lawyer in the United States, well, it's either me or the other million people that are lying. So mm-hmm. that whole idea of competition. But if I can say, I am the best person for helping coaches, authors, speakers grow their business with targeted podcast interviews, it's like, oh, okay, I can understand that. If I come and say, I'm the best at marketing, no. If I'm the best at PR, no. You've got to really niche down mm-hmm. and tell people what you can do with excellence.
So I got a couple other unique questions, and maybe they just apply to me, but I'm sure other people will get some value out of them. So let's say you're doing a podcast. You say, you know, I'm going to do a podcast, but you're afraid no one's going to actually listen to it. Any techniques to actually get more people to listen to it? Or at what point is it worth doing it? Any ideas on that one?
I think ego at times, you know, ego is the enemy. Ryan Holiday has it tattooed on his arm. I think if you would look at it and say, would I go across town to talk to 10 people? Would I drive across there to do it? Sure. You know, would I drive across state to talk to 100 ideal customers? Yeah. Would I jump in a plane to talk to 1,000 of them? Most people would say yes. A lot of people would say, no, I'm not getting on stage. I'm an introvert. But then we get to a podcast or a social media post or a blog and say, well, you know, not even 1,000 people watch this video. Well, it's the impact, not the number. Mm-hmm. And so if, you know, If you've got a very focused podcast, if you've got a very focused audience, you can't really go by the numbers. You have to go by the impact.
Yep.
And from that standpoint too, is like, not always can you say the impact will come immediately, right? I think we've gotten so trained with like Facebook advertising. Well, if I put a dollar in, I should know the next day what's going to happen. You know, it's like building the system. I built the system today. How come I'm not getting all the benefit tomorrow? Well, it's like planting a seed. It just planting it and staring at it and complaining won't get that tree to grow. But when it grows, you're going to have more apples out of that, more fruit than you know what to do with. So it's, I think, trusting in the process and knowing that if you communicate value, if you give value out there into the world, that people are going to find that. Maybe it won't be tomorrow, but I think it's really important to play the long game in these things. Mm-hmm. Like I said before, it's never been easier to do a transaction. It's never been harder to build a business.
Mm-hmm. Yep. No, I totally agree with you. I think it's people who are mature business owners that understand this. They're playing the long game and they don't need the sale to happen tomorrow, but they understand what they're building. They're building assets. That's what you're doing. You're building assets out there that are going to pay you back. And maybe the ROI is low the first month, and then it hits break even at month three. But then after month three, it's cash flowing, that asset. Same with systems, building systems, right? I mean, I'm sure the documented systems you built for your business didn't pay you very much the first few months. I mean, but now they have a life of their own, and they're building out your company to a point that would never happen if you just didn't start. I totally agree with that. A couple of last minute questions here. So let's say that you're listening to this and you're thinking, yeah, I do want to get on some podcast episodes. Is there any techniques that they should think about in terms of getting on episodes? Like, do they need to build up their credibility first? Do they need to have some kind of, do they need to write a book, or how do they get on shows?
All right. So this is one of the things that I get asked most about. What's the secret to getting on a podcast? Mm-hmm. And let's see if you agree with this. There is no secret, but put yourself in Josh's position right now. Put yourself in the host position. Who likes a cold call? I get pitched to be on my podcast about twice a day. Mm-hmm. And every pitch starts the same way. Tom, we love your podcast and would love to be a guest. There's only one problem with that, Josh. I don't have a podcast. So if you're going to lie to me from the very beginning, tell me I'm pretty, right? No, podcasters want to have three types of people on their podcast.
Yeah.
Their friends of friends, and people they want to be their friends. Nowhere did I say in their cold pitches. So think about it. Okay, you want to get on a podcast. Well, first of all, listen to the podcast for a while. Make sure you understand it. Do you have value that you can give? You know, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about jab, 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 right hook. Probably missed a couple jabs in there. I look at it as serve, 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 ask. So if you want to be a guest on a podcast, first of all, listen to it. Think of, what could I offer the audience? What could I offer the host? Listen to the podcast. Leave a rating and review. Every host looks at the ratings and reviews. If you put it in there, they'll know who you are. Listen to the podcast, comment on the social media, share the social media, mention the podcast host in there. We're all vain. We all listen for our names. After you've done that, after you've served, then reach out to them, and either through email, through social media. And once again, don't ask yet, serve, right? Josh, I love the podcast. I appreciate this. I enjoyed this episode. This is what I learned from it. And this is what I think I could offer your audience. It's not like I have a book and I really want to leverage your audience to sell my book. That is an awful ask. You know, your goal on being on a podcast is to make the host look like a genius for having you on. Because if you do that, they'll promote you better than you ever could. So serve, serve, serve. And then that host will ask you, you know, would you like to be on my podcast? So a lot of people will start robo pitching. First, do no harm, right? They'll say, I pitched 100 podcasts and one of them said yes to me, you know, or I got on 5 podcasts. Chances are those are 5 podcasts you don't want to be on. And podcasters know podcasts. And all of a sudden, if you have a bad pitch that is going around, we talk amongst ourselves, we share it amongst ourselves, and you could really shoot yourself in the foot. The flip side is, you get on one podcast and do a good job, then at the end you say, you know, Mr., Miss Host, do you know anybody else that I could offer value to? If they introduce you to two podcast hosts and so on, your dance card is going to be filled.
Very good. Yeah, great advice. And I was taking some notes here and some mental notes about what what I'm going to do, get my team to do to get us on more. Or, of course, we could just hire you guys, which is also something we should probably talk about afterwards. Hey, I wanted to leave you with kind of a final question for you just to get at whatever I forgot to ask you. So anything that I forgot to ask you, you want to make sure that the Working System audience knows about, here's your chance.
Well, I would say what you know is ordinary to you and it's amazing to other people. Right? You're listening to this and going, well, yeah, Tom's got something to share. Josh has got something to share, but not me. I'm not an expert. And somebody really helped me this. It was a lawyer. He says the legal definition of an expert is someone that knows more by their training, their education, their experience than the average person. So if you're running a business, you are the expert in that business. If you're in an industry, you spend more time in that industry than the average person. So you're an expert in that industry. It doesn't mean you're the only expert. It means you're an expert. Mm-hmm. And so what you know could help other people. It could help yourself. It could help your business. And I used to be able to say, well, I live in Kalamazoo. I can't help other people. Well, it's so easy now to start your own podcast, to write a blog, to do a video, to be a podcast guest, that to not help other people with what you know is actually just hurting yourself. Mm-hmm. So my call to action to everybody is what you know is ordinary to you. It's amazing to other people. Share that so you can help yourself and help other people. And if we can help you in any way do that, we'd be thrilled.
So great ending there, Tom. So where can people find you if they do want some help? Where do they go?
Yeah, well, the easiest thing, and this we have found on testing, always send them to that dedicated welcome page, right? We talked about that before. So if you go to interviewvalet.com/WTS, work the system, you're going to see what a welcome page looks like. You can copy that. And I'll also put all of the things in there that we talked about. There's a checklist on, you know, the 9 secrets to getting booked on your first podcast. There's a free copy of my book, Podcast Guest Profits. I sell a lot on Amazon. I give more away, almost like Sam on that. And so, and then also I'll put all of my contact information. So you don't have to figure out which Tom Schwab in Kalamazoo it is. And then I'll put my calendar link. If I can help you in any way, please just go to interviewvalet.com/WTS for Work the System.
Perfect. All right, Tom. Well, I appreciate you being on the podcast. I learned a lot. I took a lot of notes here. Looking forward to seeing that page up there. For all you listening, stay tuned. Next week, I'm going to have another expert on, like Tom, or a past guest, or an author, or speaker, someone to help you grow your business, help you so you can make more and work less with systems. Also, before we sign off today, that book behind me, the book, Work the System, that best-selling book that Sam wrote, if you want a copy of that mailed to you, signed by Sam himself, then leave us a review. Go to actually, wherever you're watching this, whether it's YouTube or iTunes or any podcast player, leave us a review. Email us a picture of that at info@workthesystem.com, and we'll be picking out one name a week and mailing them a copy of the book. All right, thanks, everybody, and we will see you next week.